you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 8th, 2024. Well, between today and tomorrow, it's like a 1-2 punch as we continue our celebration with the freedoms we're provided through Christ and continue with our 4th of July celebration with a message by Pastor Ron Strock. He's the senior pastor at Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign. And a week ago Sunday, he delivered this message focusing on the importance of America returning to God. And then tomorrow, evangelist Dave Kistler is coming to town for a revival at Bible Baptist, and we'll talk about his strategic role influencing congressmen, senators, Supreme Court justices, and those in our government to follow biblical and Christian principles. Well, that's a lot of what Pastor Ron Strock preached, and his message was actually 44 minutes, but you'll hear a good 20-plus minutes that are powerful, impactful, I trust will bless and challenge you in your thinking. Here's Pastor Ron Strock, senior pastor at Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign.
Once again, we approach the 4th of July. I love this holiday. I'm an American. I'm patriotic because I love America. I'm thankful for fireworks and grilled hamburgers and hot dogs and ice-cold Diet Mountain Dew. Thankful for the parades, the marching bands, and the streets lined with flags. I love the music of this holiday. God Bless America. Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful. Battle Hymn of the Republic. This land is your land. God bless America. God bless the USA. I love America because of its greatness, because it is great in territory, in geography. It's great in resources. It's great in strength. It's great in beauty. It's great in freedom and achievements. I love America because of its graciousness. America has shared its wealth, has shared its scientific discoveries, its medical accomplishments with all mankind. During the 1800s, Alexis de Tocqueville, a famous French philosopher, political philosopher, visited our nation seeking to uncover the secret of our greatness. He traveled from town to town asking questions, examining every facet of our society, and then wrote his conclusions in his famous work, Democracy in America. Presidents Eisenhower, Reagan, and Clinton have quoted it, and I believe the message is still relevant today. He wrote, "I sought for America's greatness. I found it not in her fields and forests. I found it not in her mines and factories. I found it not in her Congress and great tribunals. It was only when I entered her churches and heard her pulpits thundering against sin and preaching righteousness that I discovered her greatness. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I still believe America is the greatest nation on the earth. In the face of so many deeply troubling and concerning issues facing our nation, we still are greatly blessed. What is it that is going to determine the destiny of our great nation? What is it that's going to determine the destiny? Americans' destiny, first of all, will be determined by its remembrance of the sacred. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked will go down to the grave. This is the fate of all the nations who ignore God." America's destiny will be determined by its remembrance of God. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." God has especially blessed this nation because it began as no other nation since Israel. America was founded by God. God placed in the hearts of the pilgrims a burning desire to worship him freely without government restraints, so much so that the pilgrims braved the dangerous journey from Europe on a little ship, the Mayflower, to start from scratch and establish a new land for God's glory. And while still on board the Mayflower, prior to its landing at Plymouth, Massachusetts, they drew up the Mayflower Compact, which was a covenant with God, which begins with, "In the name of God," and it goes on to say, "having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancements of the Christian faith." America began with one goal, to give glory to God and advance the gospel. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Many years ago, an American economist, Roger Babson, was talking with the president of a South American country. They discussed all the productivity, the wealth, and advancements in the United States, wondering why South America was not quite there, was so different. And it has equally great natural resources as well. The president said to Babson, "The difference between our two lands is this. To our shores came those seeking gold. To your shores came those seeking God. That's the difference." America's government was founded upon Almighty God. Our Declaration of Independence from England was a declaration of dependence on God. It begins with this belief of our founders. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, there's no argument. These truths to be held to be self-evident. There's no argument. That's all our endowed, that's all. Endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Our founders believed in God and in creation, not evolution. It was self-evident. Of course, it is self-evident. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. 50 of the 55 men who framed the Constitution of the United States were professed Christians. In 1778, James Madison, the architect of the Constitution and the fourth president of the United States, said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, but upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." But today, we're in danger of losing our freedom and our nation. Today, in most classrooms, we can't even post the Ten Commandments on classroom walls. Revisionists rewrite our history to erase our Christian heritage. On July 4th, 1821, John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. And from the day of the Declaration, they, the American people, were bound by the laws of God, which they nearly all acknowledge as the rule of their conduct." John Quincy Adams. Is that still true? Hardly. No nation ever had such a Christian beginning. Today, the opposite seems to be true. In March 1931, Congress stated and adopted the Star-Spangled Banner as our national anthem. Few Americans know the fourth stanza of the Star-Spangled Banner, which is, "Blessed with victory and peace, may this heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and be this our motto, in God is our trust." The reason America has stood for nearly 250 years is that God has been in her history ever since the beginning. Benjamin Franklin uttered these profound words, "God surely was no idle spectator when this great nation was born in his name and with his grace." I hear people say, "What about the separation of church and state?" You will never find that statement, nor anything remotely like that, in the Constitution of the United States. However, you will find in the First Amendment these words: Congress will make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. It says nothing about you and me getting involved in government. It just says that the government cannot get involved in the business of the church. The statement, separation of church and state, was made by Thomas Jefferson. And his meaning of separation of church and state is not how it's being used today. Since he said it, I think he best knows what he meant when he said it. Listen to his own words. The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. Our forefathers not one time sought to exclude God from this great nation. Rather, they made every effort to include God in every document. That is one reason why America has stood as long as she has. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on the religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." I firmly believe that our national blessings that we have are a result of our remembrance of God. And his remembrance is essential to any future blessings and happiness that we may enjoy as a nation. But our national heritage lies in decay. Christian values are often mocked, if not outright blamed. The breakup of the family, obsession with self and materialism, sexual promiscuity, open parading of perversion down main streets, and the killings of precious unborn children reflect society on its last legs. I'm concerned for America. And I'm an American, and I love America, and I want America to continue to be a great nation. Secondly, America's destiny will be determined by its rebuke of sin. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but its sin is a disgrace to any people." Abraham Lincoln, he said, "The smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained." Sin, we see the inevitable results all around us: killing the unborn, the breakdown of the family, child abuse, the celebration of sexual perversion, lawlessness in our streets, the breakdown of trust, rising crime, deceit in high places, and a slow decline in belief in God across our culture. No wonder a recent Rasmussen poll reported that only 24% of Americans believe the country is on the right track. The word sin seems to have disappeared today. At least it has been dulled. Today it seems we tolerate, laugh at, and even enjoy what 30 years ago would have deeply shocked us. We call sin everything but what it truly is. What God called drunkenness, we call drinking binges. What God called perversion, we call alternate lifestyle. What God called immorality, we call the new morality. What God called murder, we call abortion. Sin damns the soul. Sin dumbs the conscience. Sin destroys the home. And sin devours a nation. General Douglas MacArthur spoke the truth when he said the following words: "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the normal lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster." America needs a return to God. In the media, just a couple weeks ago, we heard news bites about embattled Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. during the Supreme Court's Historical Society dinner. It's an annual dinner. It was held on June 3rd. A documentary filmmaker named Lauren Windsor, she secretly recorded a conversation she had with Justice Alito. And she said that she falsely identified herself as a conservative Christian and made leading statements, quote, in service of reaching a greater truth and in service of a public good. It seemed like she was trying to catch the Supreme Court Justice Alito in a gotcha moment, or at least elicit some kind of reaction from him. And in this conversation, Justice Alito acknowledged that American society was polarized, but said that there were differences of opinion on fundamental issues that really can't be compromised. But what caught my attention was how controversial a statement he agreed with caused on social media. Justice Alito, in this secret recording, agreed the United States should return to a place of godliness. Some people thought his personal beliefs as a Catholic, that America should return to a place of godliness, would compromise his ethical objectivity in Supreme Court rulings or his legal opinion. So he was attacked for believing and saying that there needed to be a return to a place of godliness. I concur with Justice Alito. America needs to return to a place of godliness. Our nation is facing a potential moral freefall, unthinkable in earlier generations. Ongoing research from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University paints a bleak picture of our nation's radically shifting moral landscape, with Americans no longer looking to biblical truth for moral guidance and increasingly rejecting traditional values that have defined us as a nation since our founding. And according to Dr. George Barna, Cultural Research Center Director of Research, he said, Americans have been aggressively redefining the nation's morality for the past several decades. That shift is still in progress. And he went on to say the percentage of adults with a biblical worldview has been sliced in half since 1995. The veteran researcher explained, the historic foundation of biblical truth and its impact on family, faith, education, arts and entertainment, and public policy is mostly a distant memory. Barna went on to say, unless Christian churches return to the basics to restore the foundations of the Christian faith, and parents train their children to embrace those foundations, there is little reason to believe that the coming quarter century of America will include our historical levels of freedom. The result of the latest CRC, Cultural Research Center, conducted by Dr. George Barna research, continued to focus attention on the need to restore biblical truth in American culture. As Barna explained, the restoration of biblical truth can facilitate the turnaround of a declining society. But here is some positive and exciting news. Just 3 days ago, it was reported all public schools in Oklahoma are now required to incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments. They're required to incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments into their curricula for grades 5 through 10. Primarily for historical context, the Oklahoma Superintendent of Public Instruction, Ryan Walters, issued a memo Thursday informing the superintendents across the state their districts are required to incorporate the Bible into lessons. The superintendent said there is a lack of understanding about the country's history and the influence the Bible has had since the birth of the United States. So it is essential for a historical understanding of our country's history that the Bible is included in the curriculum. And a week ago, Louisiana governor signed into law a bill requiring the Ten Commandments, Johnny, to be displayed in every classroom by 2025 in the state of Louisiana. What encouraging news. Friends, let's be sure to use God's word as your moral compass. Let's be sure to use God's word to shape your worldview. Let's be sure to use God's word to form your values, your life's values. Let's be sure the word of the Lord is embraced in your family. The Lord was giving instruction to the Israelites as they were about to enter into the promised land. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe, so that you, your children and their children may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by, keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life, that it may go well with you." And he goes on, verse 5, "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate." May God's word be preeminent in your heart and in your home and in this nation. Friends, the challenge is always personal. The renewal we need as a nation must begin with us as individuals. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God honors his promises. Don't look to some political party or some political leader to save America. The only hope for America lies in our churches and in godly people. The solution is not in the White House, the State House, or the courthouse, but it's in God's house and your house and my house.
Amen and amen. That was Pastor Ron Strock, the senior pastor at Meadowbrook Community Church in Champaign, 1902 South Duncan Road. You can find out more at meadow.org, meadow.org. Pastor Ron's a friend. He attends our ministry leader luncheon all the time. He's been serving for 30-plus years at Meadowbrook Community Church. Great guy, loves the Lord, preaches God's word, and I trust you were challenged and blessed, maybe some healthy conviction, and I love how he emphasized the important role that the church plays, but the important role that you play. I should also point out you only heard about half of his message. It was about 44 minutes long, so I had to eliminate some of his wonderful opening remarks about honoring those that serve in our armed forces, our veterans. I minimized some of the applause or took it out during his message, and he actually had other points to share, but I trust God used his message to touch you today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.